Jackson to the end zone. Touchdown, Texas Tech.
Ezukama for the touchdown.
Hand off to Marcus Fields. Down the sideline. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Welcome on, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast. Presented by Viva the Matadors. You are on once again with your boy, Albie Shore. And as always, I got my right-hand man, Dylan Smythe, with me. What's up, Dylan?
Oh, you know, Texas Tech coming off a dub. It's spooky season in Lubbock.
Let's go. It is. Hey, Halloween is coming up. You are correct. And because Halloween is coming up, we got the scariest man in all of Lubbock, Jeremy Gillen. What's up, Jeremy?
I hated that, but like Dylan, very excited for this weekend, a night game in Lubbock. Although in a pandemic, it's scary enough. We'll see what fans do, how they show up in a 25% capacity stadium, and see if we can't get ourselves an upset.
I see what you did there. Scary night game, COVID. It's a whole thing. I like that. But Jeremy did a nice little introduction there. Texas Tech does have a night game in the Spooky Jones against Oklahoma, the scariest team in the Big 12. Give me your initial reaction, Dylan. What do you think about this game?
I mean, just to stay on brand here, I'm a little scared, to be quite honest. You know, Oklahoma's offense is, it doesn't matter who's at quarterback, Oklahoma's offense under Lincoln Riley is pretty incredible. I saw a graph the other day about average yards per attempt since 2016. And everyone is right in the middle of the pack. And then way up here with three more yards than any other team in the country is Lincoln Riley's Oklahoma Sooners. Scary. Yikes.
All right, Jeremy. Dylan's just hyping up the Sooners because they're so, Sooners are great. Lincoln Riley, Spencer Rattler. Jeremy, are you this worried?
No, I'm a bit more naive right now. I'm excited just because it is a night game. We've seen, I said a couple podcasts ago, I want to see Columbia starting after a week at practicing at the ones, and we got that against West Virginia. I was pleased with it. I'm excited for him to go against a historical nemesis of Texas Tech. In the last 10 games, we've only come away with one win. I would love, I'm excited, and I would love to see Columbia go out there and battle it out against this Lincoln Riley, whatever.
All right, then. Well, let's go ahead. Since you already talked about Henry Columbia a little bit, let's talk about him against this Oklahoma defense. Now, as good as Oklahoma has been in the Big 12, they've won conference what seems like every year forever. Their defense has always been something we can at least sit back and laugh at, right? During the Baker Mayfield years, Baker would throw for 500 yards. The defense would give up 500 yards. And very similar to us in that aspect. But this defense under defensive coordinator Alex Grinch has been a little bit more stout. Third in the Big 12 in yards allowed. How worried are you for the Texas Tech offense going against Oklahoma defense, Jeremy?
Yeah, so I think the number one thing that comes to mind is balance. Something that Wells at least says he wants to do, has tried to do in most games, other games fails to do, is balancing the running and passing attack. Now, we know that, you know, there's a likelihood that Sir Roderick Thompson and Xavier White come back. Of course, we're going to have Brooks back in the backfield. So we'll have depth there. But Oklahoma this year, like, and you alluded to, they've been a lot better at mitigating the run, only allowing 105 rushing yards a game. So we're going to have to rely on a lot more passing from Columbia, which thankfully we saw a lot of good passing against another good defense in West Virginia last weekend. But we'll have to rely on him, I think, a little bit more this week to do a lot more with his arm than even his legs. I think Oklahoma's more prepared for a scrambling quarterback. I think they're way more prepared for a rushing attack, more so than West Virginia was. And, I just going to need the receivers to ball out. But Oklahoma has given up about 280 yards on the road so far this season on average. And that's pretty much what we're averaging at all. So it could be good in our favor if we get a lot of points off of those yards.
So what you're saying is that when an very immovable force goes up against an immovable object, something's got to give and it's usually that object. Well, Dylan, do you have anything else to say about this Oklahoma defense and the ways Columbia can go around?
Yeah, I think the moral of the story here is, like, I'm not optimistic about the game. However, I am fairly confident that this Oklahoma defense is trash. I mean, time and time again, year and year, Alex Grinch defense just gives up the big plays. Now, has Yost's offense with Henry Columbia shown us that we can hit the big play? No. But this will be the opportunity for them to go out and get the big money play.
Yeah, we had that play last game against West Virginia. That was like 30 yards downfield to Eric Izukawa.
I mean, I think the biggest play Henry Columbia made was the strike to Miles Price. And that was, yeah, that was not a huge throw.
Yeah, listen here. We've only in five games, we've only attempted 19 passes of over 20 yards through the air. Hey. And we've only hit six of those. So,
hey, guys.
If there's a game to do it, it's going to be this one.
Hey, guys. Have y'all ever heard of the tortoise and the hare? Okay. All right. We're the tortoise over here, right? We're just inch by inch.
I don't think that applies.
All right. We're not trying to race home here, okay? All right. Y'all need to have the vision that Columbia and Yost has, which is methodically going down the field. Look, I will say this. I'm joking for the most part, but I'm actually going to be serious here. Is that I do like one of the things that I like about Columbia a little bit more than Bowman is he does not go for the home run ball as much, right? Alan Bowman, and whether it was Bowman making the decision or Yost, what have you, was more likely to attempt a 60-yard bomb on 3rd and 4 and overthrow his receiver. Columbia can't do that. Not because he, one, he makes a decision not to. Two, he physically can't do that. He can't throw that far. So, but what he does is he consistently moves it 10 yards at a time. So he consistently gets the first down, whether it's with his legs or with his arm. So I do appreciate that. Now, whether we're going to have those big plays like you're alluding to, I don't know. And you're probably right that it's going to be few and far between. But I'm okay with that as long as he's consistently moving the ball down the field, giving our defense rest, and making the Oklahoma defense tired. And we've seen it from previous years that works against Oklahoma. And you're kind of just hoping it works here. So is there anybody else on this offense, Dylan? Who is your X factor on offense that can really get the team moving?
You know, I kind of pulled a fast one on us in the last podcast by picking the entire linebacking core in a defense question. I'm not even going to pick a player. It's David Yost to me. His play calling, we talked about in the last podcast. Once again, it's been pedestrian at best. I really think this game is going to come down to explosive plays, letting it fly against this Oklahoma defense, because that's how you beat them. I think Jeremy mentioned their run defense is surprisingly good. So David Yost needs to accept the challenge. He needs to trust Henry Columbia, and he needs to let it fly a few times.
Let it fly. Do you think Columbia can do it, though? Like, I'm still very worried. Like I said, and if you've listened to the podcast, you know that I don't trust Columbia's arm talent. I still don't think he has the arm talent necessary. And I just don't know if I trust him to really make those big plays. I think a lot of them are going to be underthrown. We've already seen it a couple times. Maybe not in the West Virginia game, per se, but we saw it in the Kansas State game, especially.
That's a question for you. There was a question in there.
Yes. Can you do you think he can do it?
I think it's time to find out. I don't know. There's not enough tape to see if he can do it. You know, he has one career start in his whole life. I mean, I just think this is how you beat the Oklahoma defense. You have to at least try.
Fair enough. Jeremy, what do you think? Who is you cannot name a coach, because Dylan already did it. Who is your X factor on offense for this team?
Tom Erdahl. No.
McNamara.
McNamara, the Irish hammer. Bring it back. For me, I think I'm actually going to put it up to, man, it's got to be a receiver for me. We have to have somebody. Oklahoma has been very susceptible to shifty receivers. I mean, giving up, what is it, like 280 something yards on average on the road this year to good receivers, not necessarily even good quarterbacks. I think Columbia, something you said that it makes sense, is like, you know, got to see Columbia throw it downfield a little more. Dylan's right. We just don't have enough tape to be like affirming one way or another right now. Like, oh yeah, he can do it. Oh yeah, he can't do it. because there's just not enough tape. And I think this weekend you'll get a lot of tape because we're going to be stuffed a lot at the line. So we're going to have to throw it a lot more. Now, do I trust Yost to dial up anything other than a screen? I don't, because he does have a lot of tape. And all his tape is garbage. But I'm excited to see Columbia try a more, hopefully a more diverse playbook style of play, because Oklahoma is going to be like, hey, you're going to have to beat us through the air to make this thing happen. So I do trust Columbia to do it for the reasons that I saw last weekend against West Virginia. He's just very methodical. Methodical. Yeah, there he is. I'm going the hard way around it, but he's very methodical. I mean, he's a one read quarterback, but he does make smart plays, and he's very careful with the ball. So I trust him a lot more than anybody else we have right now, and I want to see him apply some pressure to himself to make a difficult play happen.
So Dylan chooses a coach. And Jeremy refuses to pick a wide receiver.
I'm so sorry. I was literally answering Dylan's question. I didn't even answer my own.
You see what I'm working with?
Miles Price.
Miles
Price. I want to see Miles Price come out and do spectacular things again. I want to see him continue to grow as a receiver and to impress the coaching staff, impress the fans, and just go out there and take some of the burden off Ezukama.
Well, yeah, so that's a good little segue there, because right now we don't know if Keshawn Carter or TJ Vatchell will play in this game. They're both questionable for the game. I think it's safe to assume that either they're not going to play or it's going to be limited time for them. So with that, Ezukama is going to be the big bad wolf for Oklahoma. Grinch and the defense is going to be keyed in on him. You're going to need guys like Jalen Polk, guys like Miles Price, other people to step up, especially since Dalton Rigdon's also probably not going to play. McClain Mannix also probably not going to play. Our receiving core, that is the strength of our team, is getting dwindled down. So these young bucks are going to have to really step up. And like people like to say, next man up, really. Trey Cleveland, he's another one that I think is going to get a lot of a burn in this game. To me, though, I think that the run game has to get going. Jeremy, you talked about how Oklahoma's going to try to stuff the run, and they've done a really good job of that, though, so far this year. But sorry, you have to make something happen. The O-line has struggled. They got to stop struggling. You got to get creative with the running plays, whether that is off shoulder, whether that's zone reads, whether that's tosses to Taj Brooks, who I think is going to get more playing time in this game with the injuries that are around. You just got to have something going from that running game. We saw Taj Brooks actually get some success last week. I think if that success continues, then we might have something here. Luckily, Xavier White and Sir Roger Thompson are both probable for this game. But either way, I think you just got to get something going from the running side of things.
You know, something that's interesting in the run game. You said, I think you're right, both running backs will be available for this game. But if not, Taj Brooks is really good. And then the coaches continue to rave about Caleb Rogers. And I think he's one of the best run-blocking offensive linemen we have. And he's been starting the second half of these games. This might be the week he gets the start.
Caleb Rogers was very surprising in the last game. Like, that was a good name that you brought up there. I was pleasantly surprised. O-line has been kind of the struggle this year. I would even argue even more than Bowman. It's been a rotating door in that unit. But Caleb Rogers, his performance in the West Virginia game late, I remember one play, it was a third down. Taj Brooks was hit at the line, and Caleb Rogers virtually picked him and five other West Virginia defenders up and moved them 5 yards, right? He's kind of becoming that big bad bully on the line. I like that you brought that name up. Good job, Dylan. So let's go to the other side of the ball. Let's talk a little bit about this Tech defense that is ranked 97th nationally, but for some reason, I feel more confidence in them. Jeremy, what do you think? How do you feel this defense can do against the mighty Lincoln Riley and the young Spencer Rattler?
Yeah, this defense is such a struggle. We were talking about pre-pod, about how are we just so used to abysmal defense that anything that's not technically abysmal being the bottom of the barrel, even if it's just one or two spots above the bottom, is that so much better for us? Or do we truly have a defense right now that the numbers do not reflect the effort and the ability on the field? And that's a good question. I'm always afraid to step into the light for our defense and be like, nope, we have an awesome defense and this, that, and the other. And then here comes the game and we give up like 6,000 yards. And I just look like an idiot because I wanted to have faith in our defense. But this does feel like after the West Virginia game, and really, Seth Daigie is okay.
Are they brothers?
Sorry, Jarrett Daigie.
Come on now.
Brother of Seth.
How you gonna rock on our boy Seth?
That's the
like
ultimate
that?
Disrespect to Jarrett. Oh my god. That's goodness. The ultimate disrespect to Jarrett. You know, he's like his brother Seth. No, he's not. He's okay. So I don't really this game is going to tell me a lot more about our defense with Columbia at the helm for the offense, because I think that there's going to be a lot more pressure with Spencer Rattler being in the backfield and the offensive weapons, not necessarily the running backs for Oklahoma, but like the wide receivers for Oklahoma are going to be a much bigger challenge than they were for from West Virginia. So I'm excited to see this matchup because I want to see this bend, don't break. Hopefully we can keep Oklahoma to field goals or like even get, get a turnover maybe, or even make them punt at some point. Any of those metrics would be a success given how we played Oklahoma in the past.
All right, what about you, Dylan? What do you think?
Oh, man. This Texas Tech defense scares me. I mean, we give up the most yards in the Big 12, averaging 337 yards a game. It was encouraging.
But only second most points given up.
There's the bend but don't break mentality.
It's so
right
confusing.
There. We can give up yards, but we won't give up points. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case this week. But I was encouraged with what I saw against West Virginia. When we needed the defense to step up, they did. I mean, I think we talked about Fields being like one of the highest graded corners in college football. He's stepped up big time, and he's going to have to step up big time in this game because Marvin Mims and Charleston Rambo have been really good. Well, Charleston Rambo hasn't been as good, but he is very talented, and Marvin Mims has been on a tear. So they've got weapons, and Spencer Rattler is one scary dude. So it's really going to have to be a bend but don't break mentality. And to be totally honest, I really hate that philosophy.
It sucks. It's nothing flashy. It's nothing exciting. It's like the antithesis of the air raid, which is like, if we just score more points, who the hell cares?
I said how many pass yards we give up a game. We give up 486
that is
total
true.
Yards.
It is true. I'm not saying it's not true.
Yeah. If you score more points than the other team, you do usually win the game. Usually. I mean, it's...
I have heard that that is the case.
Yeah. You know.
It is no less
frustrating.
I heard
from my good friend Magic Johnson, that's usually how that works. John Madden told me that once, too. You score more than the other team, you win the game. I think that the biggest thing for me is I've regained confidence in our front seven. I think our linebacking core is surprisingly pretty good, right? I think even our D-line, when they're actually given support, is pretty good also. Even Eli Howard, I think, is having a decent year. This secondary is still pretty bad, right? Like, the secondary is still pretty bad. Now, I do think some of Keith Patterson's schemes on the back end in the secondary have worked to mask the talent deficiency. Because, like, to me, I think that's the biggest problem in the secondary. We're not that good in the secondary. Zach McPherson, I think, has done a pretty decent job. I think DeMarcus Fields has done a pretty decent job. But, like, those two guys on most other teams are nickel corners. Or your third best, you know, they're your third best corner on most teams. They're right now are lockdown corners. Right? Like, they're our best two players in the secondary. And so that's, I think, that's the biggest problem that you have. I do think the scheme is actually not bad on that side of things. I think a lot of things are masked. I think Zach McPherson does a really good job when it comes to, and I always talk about Zach McPherson because he's definitely my favorite player in the secondary, but he does a really good job when it comes to technique and doing things that's necessary to make sure that the receiver doesn't catch the ball. He's not as talented as almost any player on the secondary side for Oklahoma, right? So that, I think, in itself is a problem. And so guys like Mims is going to be able to go up and just big face our secondary. Like, it's just going to be as simple as that. Spencer Rattler is going to have, I think, an opportunity in this game to legitimately have a few balls where he throws it up to the high heavens and says, oh, my guys are better than their guys, so they'll catch it. And he's going to be right. And so that's, I think, the biggest thing that I'm worried about. I actually think that Tech will actually do a decent job in slowing down the run. Right? Oklahoma's rushing offense is, they're middle of the road. Actually, Tech actually has more rushing yards this year than Oklahoma does. So that's kind of surprising. But they're not bad, but they're nothing scary, right? And Texas, I think Tech's front seven is good enough to at least limit that rushing attack. But the secondary isn't. It's still Lincoln Riley. And Spencer Rattler, though he's young, though he makes dumb mistakes, though nobody can stand him when you watch QB1, he acts like a little, he's still an Oklahoma quarterback. This is still Lincoln Riley. They're still going to sling that thing, and they're still going to be good. And so it's going to be a bit of a problem.
I think a big key in this game, we have to make Spencer Rattler uncomfortable. I mean, you saw it against Texas. Texas was managed to make him uncomfortable. You saw it the week before that. If you make him uncomfortable and you can wrap him up outside of the pocket, you can force him to make mistakes, but it's a Keith tall Patterson. Task asking our defense to do that.
Well, no, the defensive players are willing to do that. Only one person is not willing to make the quarterback uncomfortable. That person is Keith Patterson. Like, he just refuses. Like, you have a three-man. What man with a three-man rush says, you know what? Y'all got it. Like, come on now. I agree, though. You got to make him uncomfortable. That means blitzing. That means guys like Brandon Bowie or Randall. That means sending. Jacob Morgenstern has actually done a really good job blitzing the ball. Blitzing. Right? Rico.
Is that Eli Howard got a sack last week.
Kershawn Merriweather can't defend in coverage, so you might as well blitz him. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. But I do agree is that if we start getting some pressure on Spencer Rattler, forcing him into some of the dumb mistakes he likes to make, well, then we have a new ball game. But if we don't, if he's just able to sit back there and, you know, hang out and pick the defense apart or decide whether or not he wants to run, it's going to be a long day, especially since Tech defense historically has struggled against running quarterbacks. Spencer Rattler likes to do the both. And I said the both because he does the both. And so it's going to be it's going to be a tall task.
The Jekyll and Hyde for Spencer Rattler.
Very spooky.
Yeah.
Spooky.
Are you saying that because he himself looks scary? I think it's because
Yes, maybe, but I just, you know, Halloween theme, you know, going for it.
He's both a good quarterback and a horrible quarterback.
Yeah. Jeremy gets
me. I get you, buddy.
Horrible as in ugly. Anyways, let's talk about the Big 12 slate this week on Halloween weekend. And before we get to the game of the week, the most important game, the game anybody really cares about, let's talk about some other games that are going on in the Big 12 this week. So we're going to start off with the team we just beat going up against the team we should have beat, 16th ranked Kansas State at West Virginia. Dylan, who you got?
Oh, man. I think this should be an interesting matchup. I really like Kansas State in recent weeks. Kansas State and Deuce Vaughn is electric. Dude is killer. Are they still playing with Will Howard? Is that a thing? Or is Skylar Thompson back? Does anybody know the answer to that question?
Will Howard. Skylar Thompson,
I do not know.
He's supposed to be out for a couple weeks, isn't he?
Regardless, I'm taking Kansas State. I think he is. Regardless, give me Kansas State.
Why you said? Why did you even ask the question?
It could have affected my decision, but now that I'm thinking about it, it doesn't. Kansas State's been really good in recent weeks.
Jeremy, who do you?
It have? Doesn't.
Does it matter who the quarterback
it might.
Is?
I don't know. I want to ask, but again, it's an irrelevant question. On paper, to me, these are very similar teams in a lot of different ways. West Virginia, I think, has a better overall defense, but Kansas State certainly. This is in Morgantown. Okay.
I have a little category for West
Virginia in general. I forget that it is state most days of the week. So I don't know. I think that Kansas State on the road has proven that they can get it done. Because they beat Oklahoma on the road, right? Or was that at home? Man, 2020 on the road. So
Them on the road.
And so, So Kansas State has got a lot of momentum here. Although West Virginia does have a good defense. But the same case could be made for probably not because we beat them. So I would take Kansas State too.
You know, the last guy to beat Oklahoma in Oklahoma was Seth Davey, the guy you like to denigrate. Anyways, Will Howard will be the quarterback here because Skylar Thompson's out for the rest of the year.
Ha ha, Dylan.
That. I just didn't want to tell you. So,
he's coming back this week.
K-State's going to win this game, man. They're better. They're better. No, he's out for the rest of the year. Anyways, next game. 23rd ranked Iowa State at Kansas. The game that used to be known as the Loser Bowl. But I would say has gotten pretty good the last 5 years. Dylan, who you got winning this game?
I mean, yeah, Matt Campbell's really flipped the script on this game. It's an easy pick. Iowa State. Breece Hall is going to be too much for Kansas's defense.
Jeremy, does the names on the back of the jerseys really even matter in this game?
No, but I do like the idea that Breece Hall is going to absolutely shred Kansas's defense. It's Iowa State all day. Iowa State by 15
by
or more.
15
for sure.
Or more. Well, Jeremy, the line is 28.5, so but thanks for playing.
Hey. Well, I saw I wasn't wrong.
yeah, I mean, Iowa State. I think all three of us are going for Iowa State. Let's face it, people, it's Kansas. Next up, TCU at Baylor. Rivalry game, rivalry weekend for the two quote-unquote Christian universities. Dylan, who you got?
We're playing in the Toilet Bowl in Waco. Doesn't matter. I don't trust this Baylor team at all. It sucks that, you know, they've had this COVID situation. They haven't really been able to gel. It's the only reason why I'm picking against them. Give me the Horned Frogs. Max Duggan finds a way.
Dang, such disrespect to McLean Stadium.
It looks like a toilet.
Jeremy,
bowl.
Who you got?
Yeah, Dylan brings up a lot of good points. Baylor just is not playing football this year. They've played a couple of games. They've missed even more. Have not looked like there is a lot of chemistry there, and that makes sense. They brought in a lot of new guys. They've got new coaches. They haven't played a lot of like live football. TCU, on the other hand, has lost, I'm trying to count real quick, 1, 2, 3 games by one score, and then the Oklahoma game was just a bust. But like TCU is more fitted at this point, more game ready, to go into Waco and to defeat Baylor handily.
Also, Charlie Brewer was bad. Last week, really bad. Like I don't know.
It is
who
upsetting
that
to watch him
was,
just like
it was not Charlie
get
Brewer.
Worse. Exactly.
And yes, Jeremy, that's Charlie Brewer, not Michael Brewer. I know you like to get brothers of tech quarterbacks mixed up all the time. But...
Oh my God, are they brothers?
Wow.
The guy who took a truck.
I
to
also
leave.
Like how Jeremy said that TCU has lost 3 games by single digits and lost to Oklahoma. Yet they only have 3 losses on the season. That's, you know, I'll leave you alone. Anyways, TCU Baylor. it's, you know, what's weird about this game is that you have Baylor, who I hate and they're terrible and they're losers this year. And then you have TCU, who I also hate and are also terrible and they're also really bad this year. What loser should I pick? Flip a coin. I'm going to go Dave Aranda simply because, I don't know. Screw TCU.
No John Lovett, no Tristan Ebner in this game because they both opted out of the season.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, don't forget that.
Good point, but still going better. Not going to lie to you. I forgot about Lovett.
It's out there in the airwaves.
still going. Honestly, I think Charlie Brewer is just better than Max Duggan. Both of them had a really bad game last game. Both of them haven't looked good this year. Also, who cares? I hope my prediction for this game is both teams lose. No, both they lose.
3-3 tie.
They both lose.
Yeah, which is a loss for everyone, all parties. Texas at 6th ranked Oklahoma State. No preview for that game. They're just playing each other. Dylan,
Texas has really fallen apart. I don't think those players believe in Tom Herman anymore. I know the fan base doesn't believe in Tom Herman anymore. They're demoralized with the loss of their number one ranked quarterback commit in the country. It's tough times for the Texas Longhorns, and Oklahoma State's defense really stepped it up in recent weeks. Yeah, give me Oklahoma State, easy.
Jeremy?
The Big 12 is Oklahoma State's conference to lose right now. They are 4-0 going up against a Texas Longhorn team who is, like Dylan said, demoralized by their failure of a leader and who just can't keep top recruits. I think that Texas tries to go in, upset Oklahoma State, but Oklahoma State proves to be the record that they have. And like Dylan said, they have an awesome defense. And Texas moves to 500 on the season. Oklahoma State win.
Oh, the Texas Longhorns are so pitiful.
You know what's wild?
Oh, man.
Matchup Predictor has Texas winning this game 51%. What?
Yeah, what? No, that's wild.
Nonsense. Shut up. What's, shut I'm putting up. Money on that.
I don't think so, man.
It's
I would.
Yeah, I mean, Quinn Ewers decommitting is the best news I heard about all day. His tape is one of the best tapes I've seen in years. He's really, really good. I mean, you never know what's going to happen from high school to college, right? But his tape was really, really good. As somebody who watches a lot of QB film, his tape was very good. I was worried. I thought, who knows, when he gets the quarterback of Texas, Texas might be back. Guess what? No, they won't be. So I'm happy about that. Tom Herman has got it. This decommit, I think, and I talked about it pre-pod, is Tom Herman's feeling the fire on his neck even more now. If this team, let's say they go 500 on the year, which is very likely, they'd be under 500 now if it wasn't for the last 3 minutes and 13 seconds of the Tech game.
Contractual obligation.
That's every
there it is.
So it's rough. It is rough for him. Oklahoma State's going to beat the brakes off of him. That's basically the only, I just want to say all that.
If this spread remains at 3.5, Oklahoma is a 3.5-point favorite right now, according to ESPN. If that remains, I am putting big money on this game. This is not a sports betting podcast, but guys, this is easy money.
Yeah, I mean, Spencer Sanders looks like the best quarterback in the conference. They have arguably the best running back in the conference. They might have the best defense in the conference. It's Oklahoma State's literally the Big 12's only hope of making the college football playoff. That's they're going to win. They're going to win by at least 2 touchdowns. Last up, game of the week, the game anybody who's anybody cares about. I saw Will Smith talking about it the other day. I'm pretty sure Obama's going across the country telling people to watch Texas Tech. That's the only reason I can think of that he's going across the country and having rallies. So who wins? 24th ranked Oklahoma, Texas Tech. Who you got, Dylan?
Oh, man. You know, we do get roasted a lot for never picking Texas Tech in this podcast. And I was trying to find reasons to pick Texas Tech in this game just for you guys, but I can't do it. It's not because of the talent on the team. It's mostly because of the defensive coordinator, the offensive coordinator that we currently have. I just have little faith in these guys to get it done. I love our players. I think we'll fight. You know, things are spooky on Halloween in Lubbock. It's a night game. I think as much as that atmosphere can be, it will be wild, but I think we lose a heartbreaker to Oklahoma on Halloween, and it pains me to say it.
Jeremy, can you pick us up, please? Can you, what you got?
I wanted to point out that when you said Will Smith was talking about it, I thought you were referring to the Will Smith that was a linebacker for Texas Tech.
I was too.
In Tuberville's days.
Y'all two are literally the only two people in the world that would hear Will Smith and think, oh yeah,
he was a really good linebacker for us. He was in the NFL very briefly.
Yeah, he was good, man. Tuberville. Yeah, the first two quarters of this game are going to be tremendous. I think Columbia's going to come out on fire. So Roger Thompson's gonna be back and healthy. He's gonna be carving up Oklahoma as much as he can carve them up. You know, our defense is gonna be coming out fired up. Maybe we'll get a turnover, who knows. It's gonna be exciting night game in Lubbock on Halloween. And then the second quarter will come out, or the second half will come out, and then you know, be a little more tired, and Oklahoma won't be, because they got a lot of depth and a lot of talent and a lot better coaching staff. And it'll end as we kind of hope that it'll end. And not that bad, but still a loss.
So there's a tradition on this podcast where Dylan always says that all I do is I'm going to hype up Tech and I'm going to say this, that, and the other to choose the other side. And I'm not going to do that, people. I'm not going to do that.
You do that.
No. Okay. I'm hearing this too much. It's Halloween weekend. Why would I do that to you people? When I hype up Tech, it's because I believe in this team. Okay. It's because I believe that Henry Columbia, the brand new quarterback for the Red Raiders, the guy that moves the ball down the field, is good enough to move the ball down the field and score touchdowns. When I hype up Texas Tech, it's because I believe Sirajah Thompson and Xavier White are good enough running backs to move the rock, to get first downs. Eric Izukama, good enough to make good big plays. I believe T.J. Vasher is going to play. I believe in Jacob Morgenstern, Rico Jeffers, and Krishan Merriweather, the beast, okay? That's when I hype up Texas Tech, it's because I believe in them. So that is why, on this podcast, I'm not going to hype up Texas Tech, because they're not going to win.
There it is.
Okay? Now, I will say... Now, I will say the spread is 14.5. I do think it's going to be closer than the experts think. I think Tech's actually going to play pretty well. I think they're going to make a game of this. I don't think it's going to be a blowout city. I think that, and Tech-Oklahoma games are usually pretty good. Like, I will say this about Tech. We usually actually do show up for the Sooners. This is going to be a home game, night game in Lubbock. It's going to be not rocking because, you know, there's this thing called COVID. But it's going to be nice. It's going to be fun. And I think Tech loses by 14.
It's going to be nice.
Right on the money.
Okay.
But 35-21, I think that's an okay effort.
Here's the real question. Does Texas Tech convert a field goal for the first time all season?
I said 35-21, so that's a no. Yeah.
Mm. Dang.
Unless is Austin McNamara gonna kick a field goal?
I'm in favor of that.
Is he gonna break his record from last week?
They go out for a 70-yard field goal.
87 yards.
Austin McNamara goes out there. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I got it. This is definitely the Austin McNamara podcast. Big fans. I think, was it Jeremy, you started the fan club?
I did.
Yeah. No, you ready.
We have hats.
I give credit where it's due, you know? I mean, you do hype up literally every punter we have, and, you know, you're going to hit one of these days.
We do have historically great punters.
You should. We have awesome punters.
Taylor Swank was incredible.
The worst teams usually do have the best punters. That is true.
Amen.
Jeremy, what do you want to say before we go?
Be safe out there, wear your mask, and enjoy Halloween.
Well, there's some suggestions.
Why is nothing I say good enough for you, Albie? Why is nothing? I try to be obnoxious. You hate it. I try to be pleasant. You hate it. I literally said goodbye on the last one.
Our brand is to rip each other, so we're just trying to stay true here.
Get on Apple Podcasts, rate us 1 star because we can't stop ripping each other, and that'll be the greatest victory of my life.
You can rip us in our in the comment section. I'm okay with that. I called Jeremy ugly earlier in the pod, and he didn't even catch that. So
every 1 star review we get, I will donate $5 to a charity of your choice. Okay, bring it on.
That's wild.
Please don't leave 1 star reviews.
How about you switch it and say you'll donate the amount of stars that are given? Come on now, dude.
No, I'm not pathetic. I'm not pathetic, man. I'm not.
I'm
not thirsty like that.
Okay. All right, well, you heard it. Give us the 1 star reviews. And Jeremy, actually, no, now I kind of want it to happen. No, that's fine.
Jeremy's going to go broke.
I'm going to give us a 1 star review when we get off this podcast. Okay. Dylan, what do you want to say before I get off of this?
What I wanted to say was please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a good review. Ideally, but we are ones for criticism. If you want to criticize us, that's fine too. We want to know how we can get better. Apple Podcasts, whatever your podcast listening device is, leave us a review because we have a lot of very old reviews from like the old guard of the Air Raid podcast. So we want to know what you're thinking, how you're feeling, if we're good or trash or terrible. Leave us a review. Follow us on Twitter at Air Raid Podcast. You can talk to us there. Slide into those DMs. Let's get some feedback from you guys.
Why would you give 3 options and 2 of them are bad? good or bad or terrible. Like, it's like the,
that's what we do
you
here.
Have two options that that's are negative and one that's here. Positive. Like, they're, I don't think they're good, but bad or terrible, the only two options. I guess I'm one of those. Like, this is, come on now. You got you saying, give
we're
saying,
real on this podcast.
Dylan is saying we're bad or real. Terrible. Jeremy's over here donating money for 1-star reviews. I got to carry this by myself. Okay. God. Well, for me, I have nothing else to say after that. Leave comments, follow us. Actually, that's what I want to say. Follow us at Air Raid Podcast. Follow the home team, Mr. Albie Shore. Follow whatever Dylan's Twitter name is. I never remember it. At Jeremy Dane. And as always, stay wrecked, people.